It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. All right, let's try this again. 18 minutes past the hour. This is the horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. It's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza. It is the horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, more or less 3 hours. Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. And where, if you should happen to pop into the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany right this minute, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. That's Irish Dave and Ralphs and Squeaky. Hey, gang. And capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, Bud Trimmer Emeritus, and Zimmergist Extraordinaire, Roger in Oregon. Hi, I'm somewhat frustrated. Robin Roxanne Kincaid. I think this computer, this PC, that has been so fantastically serviceable over the years, the Fab Machine, as it has long been known, hi Fab, maybe nearing the end of its usefulness. We'll keep plugging along, but there are just going to be little glitches along the way, and we had one a few days ago, and we had one today, and I hope their frequency and number slows down, but I ain't running off to my bookie with a bet on that fact. Anyway, if you're listening to the podcast, please be so kind as to like each episode, and make sure you're subscribed on a couple of different podcast platforms, and we crave comments, reviews, remarks, loving, kind words on any and all of the platforms, and genuinely appreciate them, and that's fact. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different, and so as a consequence, we say thank you to our 19th day of the month subscribers via PayPal and otherwise. That means thank you to Darlene in Connecticut, and thank you to Don in British Columbia. Thank you so much for being part of the merry little crew. Woo! Look, when you're the producer and the engineer and the humble hostess all at once, things run together into grooves and crews and the like. Oh, dear. But thank you. The fundraising goal, let's see. We got down to $870, so we're at $1,170 to go to get caught up and fully funded through today. Had a note from Brother Deacon Asa, who keeps up with such things. And this is just cool. Spring arrives at 8:06 and 26 seconds p.m. Eastern Daylight Time this evening. We get that precise time, Brother Deacon Asa reminds us, from Omar Khayyam. and his calculations and the solar calendar that he set up 1,000 years ago. It still stands. Brother Deacon Asa adds editorially, Omar Khayyam was one bad motherfucker. Yes, he was. He was a sharp one. What with all that ciphering and the like. So, happy almost first day of spring. The last of the ribs are gone. And I'm already plotting and planning. We are in food porn season, y'all. And I've got another, because here's a little bargain hunter's secret. The day after St. Patrick's Day is a great time to purchase corned beef. And if you're half mad for corned beef like I am, well, when the manager special goes on, you go to the store. And so I found another sous vide recipe for corned beef, and I've got a 3-pounder in there going with the sous vide machine that Cynthia kindly provided. Thank you, sis. And so this 3-pound corned beef is going for 10 hours at 180. Fingers are crossed. I have a feeling it's going to be like butter. It's going to be so good. It'll almost be ready when I get off the air. Talk about a post-show snack. Yum. But as I was saying, if anybody wants to help out who doesn't already know, the PayPal button is at headon.live. If you'd like to become a subscriber via Patreon, that's welcome, too. And that means, that's at the contribute tab at headon.live. And, well, if you sign up for $10 a month, you're setting yourself back you're setting yourself back about a third of a plain McDonald's hamburger for every program. Oops. Okay. How about that? Brother Deacon Asa actually made a mistake. I fucked up. It's 8:06:26 Pacific, not EDT. Me not so smart like Omar Khayyam. Oh, don't sell yourself short, Brother Deacon. You're plenty bright. Mm-hmm. And so at 11:06:26 Eastern Daylight Time this evening, spring will be here. I'll probably be awake, and I will probably celebrate it. Super serendipity. Steve in New York says my pressure cooker has a sous vide setting. Oh my! I'm just beginning what is going to become quite the love affair with sous vide. And I'm already thinking about ways that I can incorporate it with my overall barbecue process. Next up will be the Zalbraten. And the next thing I also have to get is a food vacuum sealer hickey thingamajig doodly-doo so that I can have truly vacuum sealed. Right now I'm just using a double zipper Ziploc bag with as much air as I can squeeze out of it. But I think things are going to be good just the same. Thank you, Ralph. Oh dear, be well, Fab Machine. Be well. Yes, we are crossing fingers for all we're worth. Matt in San Francisco, okay, hear me out. Just embrace the lateness. You can even change your political slogan. Robin, for all of us. Whenever she gets there. I love that. I love that a lot. But at any rate, it is Titanic Tuesday, a day when we take note of manifestations of Titanic white wing intellect, you know, amongst the maggots, the trumpansies, the libertarians, the republicans, all that wacky crew. And we've got it. Oh yes, we've got it. And we'll jump right to it, but do you remember the other day, because we had the clip of Nancy Mace from South Carolina whining to, I think it was the big giant empty head, Charlie Kirk or somebody, about how she wants daddy to sue ABC for rape shaming her. Well, daddy heard. Yes. Nitwit Nero, and this is via Reuters, so it's real. Nitwit Nero filed a defamation lawsuit against ABC News and George Stephanopoulos over a fact. It says that Stephanopoulos and ABC falsely stated on several occasions that plaintiff had been found liable by multiple juries for the rape of Ms. E. Jean Carroll. Which is, you know, true, as in factual, as in race judicata, which is not the same as race piccata, which has little capers and kind of a lemon sauce. And it relates directly to the March 10th interview with Nancy Mace. But the fact of the matter is, a federal jury originally, back last May, awarded E. Jean Carroll $5 million in damages for sexually abusing her in the 1990s, and then by engaging in defamation against her for calling her a liar about it. So then, she brought a second suit. And that's when the jury on January 26th ordered Nitwit Nero to pay her $83.3 million. That's the one he was able to post the bond for through the Chubb Group. And in both cases, there were findings that he did, in fact, rape E. Jean Carroll. Judge Lewis Kaplan made that specific finding in court. And this one's going to go in nowhere either. He may wind up having, if ABC's lawyers are extra mean, and extra competent, because Nitwit Nero's pettifoggers won't be, the Nitwit Nero may wind up having to pay for the defense in this case. Because Rule 11, since this is filed in federal court in South Florida, Rule 11 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure will be in place from jump. And I would absolutely love it if ABC and Stephanopoulos' lawyers hit him with Rule 11 for even filing the complaint. Multiple juries did find him liable for rape. I mean, what's the argument going to be? No, it was sexual abuse because Ms. Carroll couldn't testify whether it was my thumb or my dick. I mean, I want to see that pleading. Yeah. Nancy Mace must feel so proud now. But once again, this is the new 90 states of America, where in cases of defamation, truth is an absolute defense. And this case isn't going to go any further than the case against CNN did. But, you know, it's like the, back in the day when, well, it's like the hopeless gambler who's broke as shit and has maybe $10 and puts a $1 bill in 10 different slot machines in a casino and hopes that one of them pays off. Because, again, he's broke. He simply doesn't have
the money. Raup's sending this along to me. Trump doesn't have $500 million. You know who does? Yeah. And I don't think Jared or Iwanka is going to give it to him, because it's just money thrown down a rat hole. So that's just a starting place for this Titanic Tuesday. That's some Titanic lawyering taking place there. And I mentioned during yesterday's program about Tommy the Tuber blathering away in Salt Lake City. So fresh from his tour of Zion, now Tommy sat down with the man with the big, the world's largest head that is emptier than a gas giant in the depths of space, a lot emptier as the case may be, and explained what America's problems are. They're take it away, coach. Yeah. And, of course, you know what the real problem is. Mm-hmm. The devil. Absolutely, the devil. Because it's always, and you know who, and you know who's doing the work of the devil, right?
Well, I was in Utah, campaigning for Trent Staggs, who's going to be a very good senator if we can get him in the seat that Mitt Romney's vacating. I was out there, and they asked me what I thought in the direction this country were going, and I said that. I said, we're fighting a satanic cult. They attack everything that makes us strong. They ruin everything they touch. Liberalism, it can't build. All it does is destroy. We're not just in a policy disagreement up here in the Senate and the House. We're in a war of good versus evil. And I think you see that every day, Charlie. Wokeism,
yes.
It's more than just a
political
opinion. You know, it's like a religion for people. It's an obsession. You know, and it's not the religion of any Bible that I've ever read. You know, Churchill said that education is the gospel of envy. And all the left has done since I've been here, everything they've touched, everything they've passed.
Curiously enough, and I understand that this man is a complete, total, hopeless, and utter dipshit, because he is. I don't know how he managed to coach a football team. I don't know how he managed to beat Alabama. Never mind. We're not going there. But everything that is deemed woke can actually be found in the teachings of that brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of their life. Being considerate of people, feeding the hungry, housing the homeless, healing, or at least trying to heal the sick, visiting people who are incarcerated. Does that mean it's wokeism? For if Tommy the Tuber were to go and visit the J6 hostages in prison? Does that mean if Nitwit Nero gets back into the White House and pardons all of those domestic terrorists? Is that wokeism? That's pretty damn woke, ain't it? Well, it's also pretty fascist, but they're not the same thing.
They've done something to destroy the country that our forefathers built. Not anything that goes by the Constitution. Look at what they've done to our cities. My gosh, they've starting with the education and then the destruction of the people. I mean, they have no chance. Liberalism and socialism in these cities are making it worse and worse. They've ruined education, sex education in our schools, And look what they're doing, transitioning young kids before they even reach teenage years. And if that's not a satanic cult.
Transitioning young kids before they reach their teenage years.
Fluoride, Mandrake. Fluoride. In little children's ice cream. Now go and get me a grain alcohol and rainwater and whatever you Brits drink. What do the Russians drink, Mandrake? Vodka, isn't it? Vodka. That stupid, stupid motherfucker. Wow. So, well, let's see. It was a few years back when, who was it? President Ahmadinejad over in the Iran said that the queers are responsible for earthquakes and floods and volcanoes and hurricanes and I guess he's not much. Tommy the Tuber's not much different than President Ahmadinejad in Iran now, is he? Imagine having the nerve to refer to a child as satanic. A child. Imagine having the nerve to refer to anyone simply wanting to live comfortably within their own bodies as satanic. You know, if an exorcist could have saved me from the misery of decades, I probably wouldn't let him lay hands on me. But it can't, and it doesn't. Because, well, for one, Satan's not real. But beyond that, it's not anything wrong, and that's what they can't understand. And it's so damn sad and annoying and vile and wicked and evil. Honest to God, believe they would line us all up and shoot us if they could get away with it. But before I go too far spiraling down that little rabbit hole, by the way, I had a note from Cynthia who said, streaming the last hour from yesterday, and you were talking about where Trump could get all that money to post the bond he can't raise the cash for. Well, there was an article in the Washington Post I noticed about all the people he pardoned for scamming Medicare and Medicaid out of hundreds of millions of dollars. Maybe you should ask those fraudulent thieving scumbags for the cash. They were enough of a con artist to scam all that money. I think they're probably too sharp to let him have any of it. Because nobody recognizes a scammer like another scammer. And this, a Council for the Parking Garage update. Alina Havana may be in, and it's not like it's not something we didn't predict, because we're out here so far out ahead of the curve, it's like we're on straight road. A former employee at Nitwit Nero's Bed Monster Golf Club says that counsel for the parking garage tricked her into remaining silent over sexual harassment. Well, Bed Monster agreed to pay $82,500 to Alice Bianco in settlement of the claim. And the settlement document, well, Miss Bianco had a good lawyer And that lawyer made sure to make made sure that there's a line in the settlement agreement that leaves counsel for the parking garage wide open to being personally sued by Miss Bianco. Inside the four corners of the document, it says, the parties agree that Alina Haba is not a party to this release. So that's Trump's own bed monster leaving counsel for the parking garage flapping in the breeze. Bianco's lawyer, Nancy Erica Smith, said, we got everything we asked for. We asked to void the agreement that she not pay back. I didn't want her to pay me a dime, so we got that, and she still has the right to sue Alina Haba for fraud, and she has the right to sue the club for sexual harassment. Uh-oh. I hope it doesn't hurt too little. We find ourselves saying that quite a bit these days, don't we? Rick Wilson, meanwhile, spent today needling nitwit Nero. And said that he's going to wind up losing Trump Tower. And I saw a graphic earlier. Let's see, there's Trump Tower, 40 Wall Street, Westchester National Country Club. Another country club up the Hudson Valley, and he may lose all of them. Over at Substack, Rick Wilson said that the long con is finally coming to its end. It's all falling apart, Rick Wilson said. His longtime financial mastermind, Alan Weisselberg, is headed for prison. His one-time consigliere, Michael Cohen, a man railroaded into prison by Trump and born again hard, gave the courts the keys to the inner workings of Trump's corrupt enterprise. He said it may be good PR for him among the maggots, but in the long run, well, Letitia James may get to take things away from him. He wrote, Trump's properties are the physical manifestation of his ego. Trump Tower was its epicenter for decades. Today, it's Mar-a-Lago. Will Trump try to make himself a martyr and claim it's the evil deep state trying to hurt him? He already has, but none of it will change the fact that his parking lot lawyer blew the case, that the facts are utterly damning, that the pattern of fraud is explicit and vast, and that Trump is broke. And I have no doubt that he probably at some point in time will come after counsel for the parking garage. And all the and all the hair highlights in the world will not save her. And then he broke off, gave the knife a twist and broke it off and said, it's one of the weird tricks the authoritarian addiction plays on their minds. They see his long pattern of fraud as good business practices and see Trump's self-inflicted losses as an attack on themselves. Not to worry. Anyone outraged over seeing his property seized for the fraud he committed was already a Trump voter. I wonder how much longer the guy who owns the parking garages for which Alina Habana is counsel, I wonder how much longer he's going to want to stay married to her. At some point, doesn't it become less than worth it? And just to go ahead and put a fine point on it. He ain't going to make it. and he was up early, burbling and babbling and grunting and barking and hooting and shrieking and squealing again about Judge Arthur Engoron. Because, you see, here's the nature of what he did yesterday was to say, well, I don't have it. I can't get the bond. All my wealth is tied up in my stuff. And that's the crux of the problem. The bond companies won't touch him because bond companies generally don't accept real estate as surety, as collateral. Because, and it, you know, if it was a house in the burbs or something, they'd go, I don't know. But that would sell fairly quickly on a brisk market. But these are office buildings. Business centers. And as I remarked yesterday, the value is way down, generally, nationally. And on top of that, anything with Trump's ownership to it is down by about 25% more. And none of it can be liquidated for ready cash in rapid fashion. He'd be better off if he had several gun safes full of fancy-ass Belgian and English shotguns. Because if it's anything like around here, I mean, I know people. They have safes full of match-quality firearms, and you can sell them quick for cash. But not 40 Wall Street, not Trump Tower. And so the pressure is beginning to get to him. The humiliation of having the world know that he's a broke-ass motherfucker is beginning to get to him. And so today, early this morning, he got on Tripe Social and triped out, "Any business thinking about moving into New York State is crazy. The level of anger and hostility toward businesses and business people is incredible. Numerous people have spoken to me about this since the racist and politically corrupt AG who ran for office on a platform of I will get Trump without knowing anything about me or my business, and her corrupt puppet judge, Arthur Engoron, who has already been overturned 4 times on this case, a record, started doing a number on me. He's a crazed, Trump-hating rogue judge, has zero respect for the appellate judges, and is torn apart the legal system in New York State, making it impossible for outside businesses to want to come there." But he wasn't done. Oh, no. He kept on triping. "Judge Engoron actually wants me to put up hundreds of millions of dollars for the right to appeal his ridiculous decision. I would be forced to mortgage or sell," capital letters, "great assets," kind of like when you go to Walmart and you buy the store brand Great Value, "great assets, perhaps at fire sale prices, and if and when I win the appeal, they would be gone. Does that make sense? Witch hunt, election interference." Well, maybe you shouldn't have been a tax cheat all those years. Maybe you shouldn't have stolen property taxes from the people of the state of New York.
"Engoron wants me to put up the ridiculous fine. I did nothing wrong before I get a chance to appeal his crazed ruling. A first."
So that goes to the fact that what he did yesterday is he humiliated and abased himself. And says, "I can't get a bond. It's all tied up in real estate." And then he had the nerve to ask the court to let his real estate stand good as surety for the bond. He asked the court to do what the reinsurers and bond companies simply refused to do. And if the court does so, well, that will be a miscarriage of justice.
I would be forced to mortgage or sell great assets, perhaps at fire sale prices.
He can't mortgage them. No one's going to do business with him because they're all subject to being seized and sold. Yeah. Okay. I know there's been there've been like graphics put out of like E. Jean Carroll Tower. No. You want to really hurt him? Put together a consortium with Hillary Clinton at the top. And then buy it at
fire sale prices.
And call it Hillary Clinton Tower. Ooh, doesn't that sound, doesn't that just sound delightful? Doesn't that just, doesn't that just give you a smile, a giggle, a grin? They're going to break him. And as the prophet Todd, PBUH, has said, he ain't going to make it. He ain't going to make it. Lou in PA says, he might have some top secret plans that would bring in a good price. Maybe, but won't he have to take a backhoe or at least a ditch witch out to... Now, that's no way to refer to Ivana. A ditch witch out to Bed Monster and dig him up? Didn't take a lot of space in that coffin to put a little vase of ashes. Hmm? Yeah, maybe. What? And of course, he has filed his brief in the immunity case in front of the Supreme Court today. The same argument has been rejected by the trial court, and a 3-judge panel of the Court of D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals has said, nah, this ain't going to fly. So now he's making the same argument to our most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties. The arguments will take place about a month and a week from today on April 25th. And the brief here is a real Lulu. Over at NBC News, Ryan Riley, their justice reporter, said that he's claiming not giving him immunity would bring an end to the presidency. I'm glad you agree, Flavio. Hillary Clinton Tower. Flavio says, girl, that would really stoke the stroke. Stoke, stoke, stoke. The stroke, stroke, stroke. Ryan Riley, though, continued and said, something else that jumped out when I did a read-through is that they really emphasized the importance, and this is ironic coming from the Trump folks, the importance of the press and congressional oversight. Kind of odd to hear Trump's lawyers say the press can ensure justice when the nitwit Nero administration spent all that time yelling, fake news, fake news. And he's arguing the Congress has the ability to enforce the law. Congress has no law enforcement powers. In this incredibly stupid brief, the pettifoggers claim
the president cannot function and the presidency itself cannot retain its vital independence if the president faces criminal prosecution for official acts once he leaves office. It would incapacitate every future president. It would make them
open to blackmail and extortion. And, of course, this is a case of first impression, so all eyes are on it. They'll hear it on the 25th. And if they issue a ruling any more than 21 days or so afterward, we'll know the fix is in. I mentioned in yesterday's program that a MAGOT social media influencer, Isabella Maria De Luca, was arrested on Friday by the FBI for her role as a domestic terrorist in the domestic terror attacks of January the 6th, 2021. Well, now Leon Scum has weighed in. Of course he did. It, by the way, back in 2021, when the FBI interviewed her and her mama, they both lied to the FBI and said, no, she didn't go inside the Capitol. And then there's the video that says otherwise. They also made claims that she was entirely peaceful at the rally. You know, totally peaceful when she was passing that table out the window, and the table legs were being used to beat police, and the table was actually thrown at police in the assault on the Lower West Terrace Tunnel. Isabella De Luca, meanwhile, has pogo sticked up onto the cross. Apparently, she took advantage of the bargain basement sale at Crazy Dave's. She said, I'm a victim of unwarranted targeting and persecution. Weaponized Justice Department. And so, today, the 19th of March, Leon Scum jumped out on his website, formerly known as Twitter, now known as X, and posted an excrement and said that now the January 6th prosecutions have gone too far, because now they're arresting pretty blonde ladies who were domestic terrorists too. Oh no. He said the Democrats are trying to establish a one-party state. One of these days, I hope Leon Scum gets in one of his dick rockets and just flies away. But considering how they continue to blow up or get lost or fall out of the sky, I'm guessing he ain't going to get aboard one of his own dick rockets. And by the way, as of today, Isabella De Luca still hasn't been arraigned or entered a plea. Did they let her out on bond? Oh, Jesus. And he just doesn't, Leon Scum just doesn't have enough gumption. Well, this isn't about a lack of gumption. He's just a troll. He's a troll with a lot of money. And now the maggots are losing their shit and attacking, come on, guess who? Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. There was a hearing yesterday at the Supreme Court over claims by the Louisiana Attorney General and the Attorney General from Missouri. And it's so loony that it's actually difficult to say it and have it even make sense describing what they're claiming. That the federal government should not even be able to communicate at all with big social media companies or social media companies at all. In an attempt to mitigate the disinformation and downright acts of information warfare that find their way to those platforms. And so there were about 2 hours of oral arguments yesterday, and even the handmaid was like, what? Beer Boof and Kavanaugh was, to say the least, perplexed by what he was hearing. And Sammy Bad Breath Alito was barking and grunting about how the government's got these big clubs available to it, and so it's treating Facebook and these other platforms like their subordinates. And, of course, Ketanji Brown Jackson is infinitely more intelligent than Sammy Bad Breath. And said to the attorneys general, your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the federal government in significant ways in the most important time periods. The government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country by encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information. Well, now the maggots are hopping up and down and flinging poo for all they're worth. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who apparently got his law degree from the Draw Spunky School of Law, not affiliated with CBS. It is hamstringing, and it's supposed to. The whole purpose of the Constitution is to protect us from the government, and the government exists to protect our rights. But here, the federal government is ignoring our First Amendment protections and weaponizing the federal government to silence our voices. That would be our anti-vax voices, our pro-Putin voices, our deliberately misleading, deliberately unfactual, deliberately untruthful voices. And, of course, the case arose out of one of these jackacid society federal district courts. U.S. District Court Judge Terry A. Doughty, as a matter of fact, handing down a temporary injunction to say that the White House and executive agency civil servants couldn't even meet with tech companies. And then it went up to the wackadoodle Fifth Circuit, and the Fifth Circuit made it even worse and said that officials couldn't coerce or significantly encourage changes in online content. Of course, the crookedest man ever to have a seat on the Supreme Court bench, Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Fappy Thomas, grunted around and said, you just work together. Said, look, we're right, they're wrong, let's work together. You know, we're on the same team. Let's work together to make sure this misinformation doesn't gain any sort of following. Because, you know, they're subtle. Dangerously subtle. in keeping people from being fed poisonous, venomous lies that can lead to their own demises. That led to The Handmaid responding to an assertion that the federal government was being encouraging with the platforms. She said, just plain vanilla encouragement, or does it have to be some kind of significant encouragement? Because encouragement would sweep in an awful lot. Elena Kagan said, terrorists engage in things that come under the First Amendment. Let's say they're just recruiting people for their organizations online. There are all kinds of things that can appear on these platforms that do all kinds of different harms, and the inability of government that you're suggesting to reach out to these platforms and say, we want to give you information that you might not know about on this. And, of course, there were some COVIDiot doctors and the like who, you know, were out there pumping information, like telling people to drink their own pee-pee, wear onions in their socks, and rub their gums with aardvark antiviral. Their lawyer for the New Civil Liberties Alliance said, our clients, who include top doctors and scientists, were censored for social media posts that turned out to be factually accurate, depriving the public of valuable perspectives during a public health crisis. Yeah, if only we'd all been rubbing our gums with aardvark antiviral, we'd all be dead. So it almost seemed like the Supreme Court was halfway getting it right. Oh, but don't worry, it's the Supreme Court, and they'll still get it entirely wrong. Darlene in Connecticut writing in, and guess what? More humiliation is coming. That declaration he filed with the Appeals Division? There are no affidavits from any of the surety companies he supposedly approached to confirm they won't put up the goods. There are, in fact, surety companies that will use real estate as collateral. That copy of the footnote I sent you yesterday? That's incomplete and insufficient. We don't know if he really approached any of those companies, let alone all of them, and the courts can't take the word of his pettifoggers alone. How much you want to bet he's trying to pull the wool over the appeals division's eyes just to get a judge to lower the bond? Would you trust that fucker? Fuck no. You know, I learned not to play three-card Monty a long, long time ago. All you got to do is find the queen. Look how smart you are. But the problem, Darlene, is that if the court lowers the bond, the court is basically lowering the verdict. And they can't do that without overturning the case, and they have no basis to overturn the case. Although I despise, Darlene continues, what is happening on the criminal side of things, with all the delays and gumming up, the civil side of shit may be enough. It's ruining and will ruin him because that is all he loves, money, debt, and so forth. What's scary is that the GOP candidate for president is now up for sale more than ever. Putin, Mohammed bin Bonesaw, Psycho Bibi Netanyahu, aisle five, please, aisle five. That is not good for this nation in our attempt to preserve what little aspirational democracy we've got left. Vote, vote, vote. Hear, 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 hear. And don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. We have a good president. He's not mentally deficient. He's not senile. He's not falling apart. I mean, the fact that, as mentioned yesterday, the fact that the House of Representatives now wants to try to prevent him from delivering any more states of the union to them because he was so very powerful 2 weeks ago this Thursday in the State of the Union. Yeah, he's senile, but he was too jacked up. He was too into it. You know, pick one, fellas. The technical term for Donald Jesus Trump, who owns a mansion and a yacht. Oh, wait, A.G. James owns those now. Steve in New York says that technical term, deadbeat. He's a deadbeat. Deadbeat Donnie. Oh, that needs to be a thing, doesn't it? Deadbeat Donnie. Steve adding,
election interference.
And he did add the customary exclamation, duty head afterward.
Bunch of duty heads.
Foolish fool Trump, Clarence. I presume on the road somewhere. Hi, Clarence. This guy has not provided any evidence that any of the charges against him are false. All you hear from him is constant whining. It's his responsibility to convince judges and juries that he's innocent. He just keeps saying he did nothing wrong with no receipts to back up his claim. Trump needs to chill the fuck out. But he's not gonna because he can't gonna. And you know, in a criminal case, the burden of proof is upon the state to prove his guilt by beyond a reasonable doubt. He does not have to prove his innocence. But in a civil case, it's simply a matter of a preponderance of the evidence. And that goes back to the earlier story where he's claimed that he was defamed by the judge's finding that he had committed rape. Well, a jury found that by a preponderance of the evidence. And ultimately, it will cost him $94 million. The court does not enforce judgments on people who are not found liable. I don't know how long it will take to laugh this thing out of court. But even trying the damn thing in South Florida, there's no way it shouldn't be laughed out of court. Paul, tonight, Steve in New York says, hey, Roxanne and my Horn Fam Damley. I'm heading out in about 5 minutes. I have a great client who's also become a great friend. He knows I'm a Winnipeg Jets fan, so he buys me a ticket when the Rangers play the Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. No, that's a different Jets. So tonight I'm heading out to the Rangers-Jets game, and of course I will be a rep seed sentin' for my Jets, so I'll be out of pocket tonight. I can already hear the wailing and crying. Stay strong, because I'll be back tomorrow evening. Be well. Stay strong. Steve, hashtag go Jets go. So it's Stevie and the Jets tonight. Oh, but they're weird and they're wonderful. Stevie, he's a really keen. He's got electric boots, a mohair suit. I even seen it in a magazine. Whoa, Stevie and the Jets. Sorry, Steve, I'm so ashamed. Jimmy in the Great Northwest writing, Hillary Clinton Tower. Deplorable Plaza. Ooh. That's fun. Meanwhile, subject line, a listener trying to help you vis-a-vis the elves, the trust, and Sage Todd, managing partner and the John Wayne Law Group with offices in New York, not Queens, Tokyo, Beckley, Paris, Beckley, San Francisco, Los Angeles, London, Berlin, Beijing, Colorado Springs, New Delhi, and Riyadh. What a mess. Picturesque descriptions will not mend broken circuits, Mr. Scott. Scott to Spock, the original series, the Galileo 7. So our obligatory Star Trek reference is covered. We had two of those yesterday, so we're good for maybe like tomorrow if we... What a mess. Picturesque descriptions will not mend broken circuits, Mr. Scott. Emilio asking, wait, we don't need to keep drinking our own pee anymore? I'm asking for a friend. You never needed to. Your friend never needed to, Emilio. And you can put away the onions, too, while you're at it. Stevie and the Jets. The llama didn't run out of the room only because she tripped on the carpet. It was difficult enough getting her back. I had to lure her with a tasty bowl of quinoa. Doing my best here. Lee in New York, observing. Nitwit Nero's real estate. I expect that most of his properties do not have equity. His airplane is the only thing worth more than a new replacement. I would not want a new Boeing plane. Keep your Gulfstream in good condition. Yeah, there's a lot of creepy shit coming out of Boeing. One woman is suing because she had a really good management job, and she transitioned on the job and had job protections, and, well, then they made her life a living hell. And then there was the whistleblower who was curiously found all dead recently. Yeah, I think any flights I book, I'm going to try to, try to make sure they're on Airbus. And this is, monopolies are never good for business. The only two major aircraft manufacturers left are Boeing and, for civilian, airline purposes, Boeing and Airbus. The other ones are gone. What was it? The Lockheed L-1011? That was the one that got wind-sheared in Fort Worth all those years ago. And everything just eventually got gobbled up. And like I said, by the way, we're into the second hour of the program on this last waning days of winter 2024. Well, 2023, 2024. Winter will be done here in another, 5 hours or so, and those are happy words. But I said a minute ago before I went on into the story, every now and then the Supremes will give you this notion that they actually have functioning brain cells, and then they'll turn around and prove otherwise. They've been getting a lot of shit wrong for a lot of decades. Going all the way back to the Warren and the Burger courts, among others. Rulings like saying that that school segregation that occurs absent any overt racism isn't really school discrimination. Racial discrimination. Sometimes it just works out that way. Gutting the Voting Rights Act. I mean, the list is too long to go through them all. But today, on a temporary basis, okay, before we get the fantods or anything, the Supreme Court took up the question and issued a ruling on a toxic statute coming out of Texas, SB4, in which Texas declared it's a state crime for migrants to illegally cross the border and lets state officials deport undocumented migrants. Presumably, even if they're asylum seekers, which allows them into the country long enough to determine whether or not they are deserving of asylum. On a temporary basis, the Supreme Court said that Texas could begin enforcing the law. And they went to pains to say, this is not a permanent answer. We're just going to let it work. If one was an optimist, one is not, one would say, well, yeah, this is a matter of giving them enough rope to hang themselves with and then coming and pointing at them and hooting when they're hanging, when they're sitting there hanging and turning purple. That's not what this is. Flavio is saying the Supreme Court's decision will make every Texas peace officer a Sheriff Arpaio. Remember that freak? Oh, yeah. The male prisoners who were forced to wear pink panties. So now if an Anglo police officer hears you speaking Spanish, they can go, yeah, let me see your papers there, Jose. Quoting from the Supreme Court, Barrett just told how lower court judges can lie and get away with it. From Ian Millhiser at Vox. And dissenting Justice Sonia Sotomayor, joined by Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, said, this law will disrupt sensitive foreign relations, frustrate the protection of individuals fleeing persecution, hamper active federal enforcement efforts, undermine federal agencies' ability to detect and monitor imminent security threats, and deter non-citizens from reporting abuse or trafficking. Taking a victory lap, the multiply indicted Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, said, it's a huge win. And it's a defeat for the Biden administration, and the law is now in effect. Now, two of the justices in the majority said the lower court needs to get right at it and decide whether to let the law remain in effect while appeals continue. The two justices previously mentioned said it will further chaos and crisis in immigration enforcement. If someone illegally enters Texas from Mexico, would face up to 6 months in jail. If they re-enter, it's felony charges, you know, because Texas has plenty of room in its prisons, and they're absolutely lovely places to spend time. And the thing is, a lower court had actually temporarily enjoined it and said the statute's very likely unconstitutional and, quote, could open the door to each state passing its own version of immigration laws, basically engaging in, what's that word that led up to that little unpleasantness, that little dust up between 1861 and 1865? Yeah, nullification. The handmaid, Amy Covid Barrett, said, if a decision does not issue soon, whatever soon means, I'll deliver at speed, y'all. The applicants may return to this court. Thing is, the Fifth Circuit had already halted the lower court's injunction with a mess that that Sotomayor and Jackson said was an abuse of discretion. Sotomayor writing said, this court makes the same mistake by permitting a temporary administrative stay to alter the status quo that has existed for over a century. And stating the obvious, Elena Kagan said, I would have kept it from taking effect too. And said that immigration and the entry and removal of non-citizens, quote, are matters long thought the special province of the federal government. They weren't long thought that. They were that. The federal government preempted immigration. It is the federal government's province to say how and when and where and who can enter the United States of America. Meanwhile, our most puissant dread sovereign, Supreme Catholic Majesties, neither they nor the government of Texas has any kind of ability to control the actions of the Mexican government, who's actually working harder on their side of the border than we are on ours. and Mexico doesn't have to cooperate with Texas at all if they don't want to. Foreign minister for Mexico, Alicia Bárcena, said, addressing the structural causes of migration is the right course, not criminalizing migrants who do so much to help their communities. Jorge Dominguez, however, who works for the Las Americas Immigrant Advocacy Center, headquartered in El Paso, and who opposed the law, said this is a gut punch that will impact not only immigrants in Texas, but also any state resident of color. That's what this is about, y'all. This is Jim Crow with a side of rice and beans. Dominguez asked, and he's a U.S. citizen, said, could I be detained because I'm brown, speak Spanish fluently, and look like someone who crossed into Texas illegally? This law essentially makes anyone like me vulnerable to any law enforcement officer in the state who wants to play the game, guess the immigrant. Yeah, they're going to have to work on their German accents down in Texas. Your papers are not in order. Let's see what it sounds like there. Your papers ain't in order. You ain't got right papers. Says on this your driver's license you're female. Are you really? Says here on this your driver's license that you're male. Are you really? We're going to need to see. This is sickening. Ian Millhiser did say, The Handmaid's Opinion, and she was joined by Beer Boof and Brat. She said that, what Millhiser said was that her explanation was a roadmap to lower court judges hoping to shield their decisions from Supreme Court review. Indeed, Barrett's concurring opinion is such a clear invitation to rogue judges who wish to game the judicial system that it's difficult to believe she agrees with it. The court has held consistently over at least a century and a half that the authority to control immigration to admit or exclude aliens is vested solely in the federal government. That is apparently no longer true. And this is a Confederate majority court that is ready to sign off on the most hideous notion ever to afflict our idea of constitutional governance, that is nullification. This is an outright endorsement of state-level nullification of federal law. Not because it's the only thing on my mind, but for instance, if the federal government could, if we ever get a Democratic president, a Democratic House, and a Democratic Senate, they could pass the Equality Act that protects, among other things, gender identity. And with the handmaid here, they could pass it. It could apply to all 50 states, but, you know, that jackass that attorney general in Alabama says, not in Alabama, it don't. As recently as its decision in Arizona versus United States 2012, a majority of the justices reaffirmed that it is fundamental that foreign countries concerned about the status, safety, and security of their nationals in the United States must be able to confer and communicate on this subject with one national sovereign and not with 50 separate states. But that was before Mitch McConnell colluded with Nitwit Nero to put three ugly fascists on the court in the form of Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch, Beer Boofing Brat, and The Handmaid. And what do they want? I mean, ultimately, I think we are duty-bound to ask the question, what do they want? And what they want is to immiserate people who aren't white enough, or whose Hispanic accent is too thick. Or, in the long run, whose Muslimness is too Muslim. It's this, you know, this, as I saw the case released today, and I read about its underpinnings and its potential for rife abuses, it reminded me of what I say every time that I start bringing up, you know, that issue. Namely, that I don't talk about it solely because it touches me. I talk about it because that's where the first front of the fascist assault is taking place, and that it will expand. And here we have the proof of that. Ian Milheiser says, by rewarding the Fifth Circuit's tactic, moreover, Barrett is certain to inspire copycat decisions. Now, any judge who wishes to dodge Supreme Court review is likely to stamp the words administrative stay on their orders. It's frightening. It should be frightening. This is confirmation by this court that this is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for white, cis, heterosexual men. Just like the original founders intended, right? Lee in New York, all deliberate speed. Isn't that judge talk for maybe now, maybe never? No, Lee, all deliberate speed is judge talk for never. The maybe now part is not part of it. Okay, correction from the aircraft segment of the Horn Family Community Congregation. It was not the L-1011, it was a McDonnell Douglas DC-10 that was that disaster. The L-1011 was a pretty good plane. I'm pretty sure an L-1011 went down somewhere in horrible fashion as well. But Brother Deacon Asa, also an aviation aficionado, said major civilian aircraft manufacturers have no fear, dear Robin. Vladdy Daddy's here to save us with his Sukhoi Superjet. Yeah, no, I ain't getting on one of those. It's difficult enough for me to get on a Boeing aircraft. As to Clinton Tower, Lee asks, can we rename it the Tower of Annoy? Apologies for a math reference. Apology accepted. Lou asking, what happens if Texas buses people to New York City? Well, that's not deportation, but then again, maybe it is. Now, in this case, the purpose of the cruelty is to kick them back into Mexico. Because then when they turn around and come back, they can charge them with felonies. And, you know, you get enough felonies, you can three strikes them and keep them there for life. You know, use them for things like indentured servitude, which is, in fact, permitted under the 13th Amendment. Terrifying. Even law enforcement in Texas are not particularly enamored of the law. The Houston Police Department said that their relationship with immigrant communities could be put at hazard, said that it would prevent people from calling 911 during emergencies because they were afraid they might be arrested just for existing. Community organizations have been running seminars teaching people, you have the right to remain silent. Use it. Solicitor General Elizabeth Preligar begged and said that SB 4, quote, prevents the nation from speaking with one voice in matters involving foreign affairs and tramples on federal responsibilities that Congress has laid out. Implementing it could inflame tensions with Mexico, the largest U.S. trading partner, and lead to the deportation of migrants whose lives are in danger, a violation of federal law. And it's worth noting that Texas tried to justify this law by invoking its war powers. War powers. The state of Texas is at war with unarmed brown people, in many instances facing other wars, fleeing other wars. And what they cited was the portion of the Constitution that says that a state can take action when actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. Oh, those poor, simple framers. You know, I say simple, but those drag queens were too smart for this incredibly mean-spirited, hateful, stupid time. And the times in which they wrote the Constitution were pretty mean-spirited and hateful in their own right. Three-fifths clause, anybody? Bueller? The Texas Solicitor General Aaron Nielsen, thinking he's really somebody, said, Texas is the nation's first line defense against transnational violence. Say it's the transes! Texas has been forced to deal with the deadly consequences of the federal government's inability or unwillingness to protect the border. Using way too much brains, the Biden administration said a surge in unauthorized immigration plainly is not an invasion within the meaning of the state war clause. Didn't matter. We are being ruled by six most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties. I love the things that y'all focus on. Ralph's serving as the Horn Ad Hoc L-1011 TriStar Research Department points to the accident history, once I ever and it's true the L-1011 had comparatively few accidents and a better safety record than its competitors. Let's see, the Eastern Airlines, they don't exist anymore. Flight 401 crashed in the Florida Everglades. 1977, San Diego. Saudi, Flight 163. Yeah, there it is. August 2nd, 1985, Delta Airlines Flight 191 and L-1011 crashed while approaching Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport in microburst conditions. Crash killed 8 of 11 crew members and 128 of the 152 passengers on board, as well as one person on the ground. Yeah, that was the one I was thinking of. I remembered it because a friend of mine at CNN Radio was an aircraft aficionado, and he collected the NTSB reports after these crashes, and I remember reading that specific one. Thanks, Ralphs. Thank you. Sukhoi Superjet. Nope. No thank you. It's got a special door where Pootie's enemies can just be pushed through and out. Well, it's in the floor, actually. And it's made with Acme's patented invisible hole. And just apropos of nothing, Lady G has been feeling butch again. This never works out for the best. Newsweek reporting. Oh, let's go to the audio. Works better if you unmute it, Roxanne. Wow, okay. We're not going to have him talk. We're just going to have the soundtrack from Amadeus, apparently. He's calling on Congress to quickly pass legislation that'll draft more citizens, Ukraine, that is. He wants Ukraine to draft more citizens to fight against Mother Russia. Right. He said it in Kyiv on March 18th that there should be a new draft passed in Ukraine, and said they shouldn't exempt men under 27. The draft age may be lowered to 25, but they're not making progress. Ukrainian citizens can, however, join up at 18, and no men between the ages of 18 and 60 are allowed to leave the country. And Lindsay is concerned that young men are not being urged to join the war. I would hope that those eligible to serve in the Ukrainian military would join. I can't believe it's at 27. You're in a fight for your life, so you should be serving, not at 25 or 27. We need more people in the line. We, you know, him and that mouse in his pocket. Then again, there were actual Ukrainians who actually know what their country needs. One said, Ukrainians themselves decide who will be sent to the front. We need... we need equipment, high-quality weapons, to effectively protect themselves from Russia. And, of course, it was Lady G themselves who, while apparently trying to be butch about war, was a complete Putinite when it came to supporting the bill to provide more military assistance to Ukraine in the biggest struggle, the most existential struggle for democracy taking place in the world today. And he refused to send aid to Ukraine because he didn't feel like we were being cruel enough to people at the border.
If you want aid to Ukraine, you'd better start talking to American taxpayers.
Little pissant. Then there's Eric Chenoweth, who runs the Institute for Democracy in Eastern Europe, and he said, Graham interferes with the carrying out of U.S. foreign policy by negotiating directly with Zelensky. He undermines a sitting president on behalf of a former president, promising to abandon Ukraine if reelected. Again, we haven't grappled with the success of Russian active measures. And then he had the unmitigated gall to criticize the speed with which we are delivering Army tactical missile systems, ATACMS, to Ukraine, and said, well, they should have been here yesterday so that Ukraine can knock the damn bridge down linking Crimea to Russia. And then the Senate Democrats jumped in and started punking him some. It's really too easy. Senator Graham needs to fix his position and join us in urging the House to pass the bipartisan National Security Supplemental that he opposed on the Senate floor. He can't, though. He can't. Because, see, when Mother Russia hacked the RNC, they got a whole lot of stuff on the Republicans and just didn't disclose it like they did with the Democrat stuff that they hacked. So, Lindsey's in a bind. He can't do that. He can't get all butch about the money going to Ukraine, because then, well, Daddy Vladdy will authorize the release of him and that picture of him with the Muscovite rent boy, and you know, Lindsey with those, well, with that terribly frou-frou French maid's dress on. Do we doubt that at all? Okay, maybe not the particulars. Maybe not the Muscovite rent boy. Maybe not the French maid's costume. Lindsey, honey, the seams in your stockings are not straight, just like you. Ooh! Sorry. But there's no other reason. Well, okay, no, there is one other reason. He is scared shitless of the maggots down in South Carolina stand, getting out his 300 mag with the 4.5x14 Leupold scope on it and putting the crosshairs on it and making his brains go boom. That's what he's scared of. Agent Fred, I'm not saying anyone should do that. I find that to be horrifying. But Agent Fred, you know the maggots. I mean, how long have you been there listening to this program? I know, Flavio. Never gets old. A really rude cartoon of Nitwit Nero bending over for a full body cavity search. Complete with overhanging belly and dangling boobs and a stack and his orange prison jumpsuit next to him, and the prison guard shining a flashlight between at his outspread cheeks, and good God, is that Lindsey Graham? Well, I was looking forward to I was going to have a corned beef on rye with mustard and Havarti and Flavio. You ruined it. You ruined it. Jude sending a picture of the border fence. It's not a wall. And said, it goes on forever, it seems. Yeah. Another picture of Jude with a tiny pair of baby shoes at the wall. Years back, when the children were ripped from the arms of their parents, we were drawn to stand at numerous border sites in Texas. If you remember, we connected Robin and Dearnette each time the boots went to the El Paso border. There was a border agent who allowed me to step through and onto the other side of this enormous metal wall. The breadth of such reality continues to resonate inside this vessel of mine, along with the countless numbers of others who journeyed in spirit with the boots and, yes, baby shoes. Indeed, Jude, that was brave and heroic for you to do. Yeah, Lou, that's quality. Miss, I can advise the Ukrainian government, Lindsay, but Schumer can't advise Israel. I mean, Schumer's at least Jewish, for God's sakes. I don't know, and I don't really want to ponder it. Emilio asking, so is Miss Lindsay into Muscovite twink skivskis or Berufskis? Skis, not shkus, skis. Because I think shkus would be a feminine ending, and he's not into... No, staying away from that. And by the way, as we rapidly approach the third hour of the program, we are a goose egg, and b open for conversation. If something's something's on your mind, be under your bonnet, et cetera, et cetera. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Randy Radar, please go back to using the old email address, because I don't necessarily see your messages if you don't. Oh, by the way, Tracy called in yesterday from Puerto Vallarta, or its environs nearby, sending food porn. Good God, that looks delicious, Tracy. Did you have your huevos rancheros this morning? And Darlene with a salient question. But weren't the framers drunk most of the time? Yes. Presumably, they were wasted when drafting the U.S. Constitution, high-functioning alcoholics, so... I assume most were happy drunks. In other words, everything appeared far better looking in terms of white gentlemanliness than it actually was in reality. You know, those gentlemen's agreements. That's even how the Civil War ended at Appomattox. On a gentleman's agreement, right? Seriously. Yeah, pretty much. On a handshake. And bless his noble heart, General Grant would not accept the sword proffered by that beater of enslaved people, Robert E. Lee. Sir, you may keep your sword. When in fact he should have been run through with it, but, you know, I mean that way. Wouldn't it be interesting, Darlene continues, if we could discern through the history books and the Federalist Papers who amongst the framers were happy drunks and mean drunks? I don't think it's necessarily a matter of discerning through the Federalist Papers. It's more a matter of who was chasing shots of laudanum with the old-school Pennsylvania rye whiskey, and who wasn't. Why do I think that the mean ones, Darlene asks, were the predecessors to the future Republicans and maggots as we know them today? They were mostly racist and misogynist anyway, but I digress. Where the mind goes sometimes. Oh, I know, it can be scary. At least it is for me sometimes. But... isn't it a distinction without a difference? You know, in Federalist 10, Madison rails against faction, which is what we would call political parties. Yeah, Madison railed against faction and said it'll tear the new republic to pieces, and then argues with himself over the course of Federalist 10 and says, well, I guess we're going to have them. And then no sooner was the new country established than we got them. It started out with Jeffersonian Republicans versus the Federalists. And the Jeffersonian Republicans became the Democrats, and the Federalists became the Whigs, among other things. And there really wasn't necessarily a geographic boundary to them. That was more defined by pro-enslavement versus anti-enslavement. And there was pushback against slavery as early as, you know, all the way back to the drafting of the Declaration of Independence, because, bless his heart, he was a young optimist at the time, and Jefferson wanted to include something about getting rid of slavery in the Declaration of Independence, and all the southern enslaving states who relied on stolen labor for the entirety of their economy said, oh no, we can't have that. We're not signing anything with that shit in there. I was thinking back to the Corps of Discovery and the inventory that they carried, and there were like gallons of laudanum and gallons of whiskey and barrels and barrels and barrels of beer. You know, because you can't count on being able to drink the water. Although, you know, indigenous people had been figuring out where it was safe to drink the water for 15,000-20,000 years or so. But you couldn't count on them being particularly fond of being overrun by dirty, curious white people. Greedy white people. Oh, you're fine, Randy Radar. I thought I was being up-to-date and gender accurate. That was kind of you, but I can only monitor one email address at a time. And so the old one works best. Anyway, I mentioned that the phone lines are open. The stress line is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. The other line, 304-574-8178. We haven't named it yet. Don't know why. And then, of course, Skype, which is easy to reach me. Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Kincaid Horn, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. We should probably talk a little bit about Aileen Cannon. What a Lulu. USA Today with the headline, and they're not exactly a bastion of liberalism, Gannett. Judge in Trump classified documents case proposes insane jury instructions. Well, yesterday, Aileen Cannon did issue some proposed instructions. And those instructions actually lend credence to the idea that that Nitwit Nero declassified the records with the powers of his
ginormous brain.
And it, according to some people analyzing it, some people, there's that Fox News style book again, legal scholars are saying that she is basically pushing Jack Smith to the point of asking the 11th Circuit to recuse her and remove her from the case. Writing over on Substack, Joyce Vance said that expect Smith's response to be hard-hitting. The bottom line is that the Presidential Records Act doesn't forgive Trump for violating criminal laws regarding handling of national secrets. And so the pettifoggers for Nitwit Nero and the prosecution team have from now until the second day of April to submit proposed jury instructions for the trial. There was yet another hearing yesterday, Monday, and she once again dodged the question of whether the Presidential Records Act protect him from the criminal charges at hand. Then she wanted both, said she wanted both sides to engage with two possible instructions. One in which she says the jury should make a factual finding as to whether the government had proven beyond a reasonable doubt that the records are personal or presidential. What? And then she wanted to tell jurors in the second instruction, a president has sole authority under the Presidential Records Act to categorize records as personal or presidential during his or her presidency. Neither a court nor a jury is permitted to make a review or review such a categorization decision. And people who actually know the law, as opposed to being a hack appointee of Nitwit Nero, were unsparing in their criticism. Bradley Moss, national security lawyer, said the second scenario is legally insane. And under it, Cannon could simply dismiss the charges. George Conway said she has no business being on the case in the first place. Talk about, you know, talk about appearance of impropriety. Because we did. We've talked a lot about the appearance of impropriety. Aileen Cannon is brand new to the bench and has no business hearing this case as a maggot appointee. I would accept a George H.W. Bush appointee, or a George W. Bush appointee, or a Clinton appointee, or an Obama appointee. It probably goes without saying that a Biden appointee, for the same reason, the appearance of impropriety, shouldn't hear the case. Conway said this is utterly nuts. Joyce Vance said the instructions virtually direct the jury to find Trump not guilty, and added, it turns out it's two pages of crazy stemming from the judge's apparent inability to tell Trump no when it comes to his argument that he turned the nation's secrets into his personal records by designating them as such under the Presidential Records Act, and I'll add, with the powers of his mind. Because he says that he designated them personal before he left the White House. Well, that demands that there be some evidence of it.
No, I did it with my brain. I just thought about it one day.
And it even runs against what he said, Nitwit Nero.
As president, I could have declassified, but now I can't.
And even the wackadoodle 11th United States Circuit Court of Appeals has said that Nitwit Nero's declassification argument is, in their words, a red herring. They said the change wouldn't have made the government records personal. The declassification argument, and this is from the three-judge panel of the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which is not known for its stability or sanity. The declassification argument is a red herring because declassifying an official document would not change its content or render it personal. So even if we assume that plaintiff did declassify some or all of the documents, that would not explain why he has a personal interest in them. Now, what we don't know is how long the 11th Circuit would take deciding on whether to remove her from the case, and what removing her from the case would do to the timeline of the case. Lee in New York, presidential documents. Daffy Duck stated the justification. It's mine, you understand? Mine, mine, all mine. Go, 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 mine. Did you hear me out? Hear me? Out, 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 mine, 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 mine. Go away. There's only enough for me. And I think that was later followed by, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm socially secure. Lou, bring King George III and the British back. Turns out it wasn't so bad after all. I know. And Joyce Vance really was relentless. She said, I read it several times, trying to figure out what it means. Turns out it's two pages of crazy, stemming from the judge's apparent inability to tell Trump no. We went through that part. When it comes to his argument that he turned the nation's secrets into his personal records by designating them as such under the Presidential Records Act. The PRA isn't some kind of way around the rules of classified information. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals has already made it clear when it overturned Cannon's earlier order that the items seized during the search couldn't be used in the investigation. So Judge Cannon, who didn't rule for Trump on the specious Presidential Records Act motion last week, essentially acknowledged he intends to do so today. And she went on and said, this just isn't how juries work. And she's passing the buck to the jury to make a finding of law. Jurors are the triers of fact. The judge is the trier of law. Oh, and by the way, guess who showed up for prison today? Mm-hmm. Peter Navarro. He's now officially in the joint. Gosh. And all he had to do was honor a subpoena. Isn't that just the damnedest thing? Oh, we mentioned Jared probably not being willing to give his father-in-law $464 million. But if you are familiar with the long-running nature of the conversation here and the sagacity of Sage Todd, who has said over and over again on this program that Israel wants beachfront casinos in Gaza. Well, of all the people who might be surreptitiously listening to this program, I wish one of them wasn't Jared. A little dweeb, neo-maxi-zoom dweeby. Because earlier today, Jared gave an interview at Harvard in which he told the Harvard Middle East Initiative faculty chair, Professor Tarek Massoud, And the story was carried by The Guardian. Oh, my heavens. He said, Gaza's waterfront property could be very valuable if people would focus on building up livelihoods. I do think right now, opening up the Negev, creating a secure area there, moving the civilians out, and then going in and finishing the job would be the right move. I'm sitting in Miami Beach right now, and I'm looking at the situation, and I'm thinking, what would I do if I was there? Well, probably whatever Mohammed bin Bonesaw told him to do. And then he had the nerve to blame the Biden administration for the refugee crisis after October 7th. Now, it's a little bit of an unfortunate situation there, but from Israel's perspective, I would do my best to move the people out and then clean it up. But I don't think that Israel stated that they don't want the people to move back there afterwards. He doesn't believe. What a little twerp. Living proof that the acquisition of money does not confer intelligence. But he wasn't done, y'all. In addition to that, I'd just bulldoze something in the Negev. I'd try to move people in there. I think that's a better option, so you can go into Gaza and finish the job. I do think right now opening up the Negev, creating a secure area there, moving the civilians out, and then going in and finishing the job would be the right move. I'm not even sure there's much left of Gaza at this point, if you think about even the construct. Gaza was not really a historical precedent. Oh, what a shitbird. Ashkelon? Gaza? I mean, they're referred to in the records of ancient Egypt, Jared Kushner. That area was highly civilized at a time when your European forebears were fighting it out with the buzzards for what the wolves didn't want. Gaza was the result of a war. You had tribes in different places, and then Gaza became a thing. Egypt used to run it, and then over time, different governments came in. Wow. Ancient history with Jared Kushner. And he was rightly criticized for being the rapacious, predatory ass that he is. My God, said one person on what used to be Twitter. Children are being slaughtered and thousands are starving to death, but Jared Kushner's first thought is, hey, look at that valuable waterfront property just waiting to be exploited. What a scumbag. Another person said, never one to miss the opportunity to make a quick buck off someone's misery. Jared Kushner, further proof that there is no God. Emilio says, of course he declassified the documents with his mind, Robin. Didn't you hear the Lee Majors sound thingy? Ning 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 ning. Yeah. Well, that's true, Ralph. Bring back George III, and Charles would be our ruler. But Nitwit Nero wouldn't. Hell, maybe the English would have gone in and depopulated that little inbred island where Mary McLeod came from. There can be only one. A lot of work for whoever builds the first time machine and travel. No, it'd just be a bunch of paradoxes. Yeah, I know Kushner's Jewish, Lou. And European AF. So he's probably, the genetics are not in. No. Darlene in Connecticut, Judge Aileen Cowbell. Oh, that one almost got past me. Darlene writes, subject line, Judge Aileen Karen. May not be as dumb as we think. She's certainly wildly corrupt and totally cray, but with her recent without prejudice ruling against Trump's motion to dismiss the charges, she's hinted for Trump to raise the dismissal again after jury selection. Because once the jury is seated, then double jeopardy attaches. So, Trump raises the dismissal motion again, and it won't matter what batshit crazy ruling Judge Karen comes up with to grant it. It won't matter because Jack Smith will be powerless to appeal it. Trump wins. Jack Smith needs to move on this now and try to get her removed, but per Judge Luttig, removing a trial court judge is an extremely difficult thing to do. I know it is a difficult thing to do, but in light of the fact that she's with this jury instruction nonsense, she's completely gone against what the 11th Circuit has already said. She may have given him the wherewithal to do it. Judge Aileen Karen. That was good, Darlene. Appearance of what now? Says Ron and Raleigh. Trump's lawyers are still going after Fani Willis despite the fact that Nathan Wade has stepped down. What I take particular offense to is Judge McAfee saying the whole Fani Willis case has the odor of mendacity about it. This motherfucker is calling a black woman a liar. This really butters my biscuits. This pasty-ass white judge seems dead set on letting Trump escape. I read that line too, Ron. And I, oddly enough, I didn't read it the same way you did. This whole Fani Willis thing has the odor of mendacity about it. I thought that could be equally applicable to the people who have manufactured it. Especially when you think about, Ashley Merchant, or whatever her name is. The blonde pettifogger. Who had apparently hours and hours and hours of conversations with Nathan Wade's former law partner, who said he had the goods, and then got on the stand, and once he realized he was under oath, suddenly realized he didn't have the goods. You may be right, but I think he could just as well be calling the white blonde woman a liar too, or instead, even. Maybe I'm wrong. Thank you, Christopher. Christopher via Venmo said, a little bit goes a long way, especially lots of small donations. Hint! And so now we are down to 1160, and we're not a goose egg anymore. Thank you, Christopher. Anybody want to jump in beside Christopher and, get us down to, 270 would get us down to being fully funded for Friday, everything but Friday, Monday, and today. If we could do that, that'd be fantastic. Get some bills paid. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you so much. Might as well chat. We're far enough into the program that I can probably deal with this. Been a little while since we've talked about Moms for Liberty. Sit, Liberty, sit. Woo! Bridget Ziegler, you might recall that Bridget Ziegler was the Moms for Liberty co-founder who, while at the same time she was barking and grunting and hooting about mentioning gay kids in Florida schools would somehow corrupt the youth, at the same time that she was engaging in some highly lesbicious activity with a woman, not her manly husband, while her manly husband was getting it on too. Well, Bridget Ziegler and her husband have sued the police and the prosecutors in Florida to stop them from releasing the records related to his rape investigation. Mm-hmm. Christian Ziegler has been under investigation by the Sarasota police since October, when these good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, et cetera, Republicans were engaged in a decidedly non-biblical threesome. And the third partner in the polycule said that Christian Ziegler had raped her at a time, and had assaulted her at a time when she said she didn't want to get it on with Christian Ziegler because Mrs. Ziegler wasn't there. One gets the idea. She was more into Mrs. Ziegler than Mr. Ziegler. And so they're suing and claiming that releasing the records could cause great humiliation and harm to their individual reputations. No, Bridgie. You did that, sugar. You ran all over Florida. You advised Monkey Up DeKlantis, Go-Go Boots DeKlantis, on how to more effectively hate LGBTQ kids in Florida. You did that, Bridget. And you ostensibly got down there and LARPed around on that woman who wasn't your husband and let your husband LARP around and ficky fick on that woman who wasn't you, Bridget. And so the police had gotten a search warrant, and they had gotten a whole bunch of Bridget and Christian's text messages, and they're complaining that the search warrant was too broad. Well, there were two broads. Oh, so I'm going to hell for that. And that the cops collected call logs, images, video, web browser history, and emails. Uh-oh, not the web browser history. Pineapple.com, anybody? Hot closeted threesomes for you? Because media outlets have served. Freedom of Information Act requests on the police and the prosecutors. Because more than anything else, they want that video that shows Christian Ziegler and not Mrs. Ziegler engaged in some ficky fick, which Christian Ziegler says she totally consented to, totally. You're right. Request in the lawsuit, when read, should probably be accompanied by a tinny whorehouse piano. The Ziegler's seek to preclude the release and publication of any of the above-mentioned materials before Sarasota Police Department or SAO release them pursuant to any active public records request. We would like to have them all destroyed, please. Because we want to go on having all four trotters in the trough down here in Florida. Meanwhile, although she's lost her job with the Conservative Leadership Institute, and although Christian Ziegler has been bounced from his job as the Republican Party chairman in Florida, she refuses thus far to resign from the Sarasota County School Board. Hell, her own presence on that school board is probably a violation of the Don't Say Gay law. Oh, she's not gay. She's just like Roy Cohn. Roy Cohn wasn't gay. Roy Cohn just liked to have sex with men. Bridget Ziegler's not a lesbian. She just likes to have sex with them. Hey, thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs jumped in alongside Christopher. Thank you. So that takes us down to 11:54. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. 254, and we're done with funding for last Thursday. Be great to do that before we get to this Thursday. We were talking about Judge Scott McAfee a minute ago. Let's see. He, at one point, and see, this is what made me think that the mendacity comment was directed toward the pettifoggers. And he said the evidentiary window had closed for Ashley Marchand or Marchand or whatever her name is. So, for all I can tell, it's over. And Fonnie Willis will continue the prosecution. And now, since it is Titanic Tuesday, and since Piers Morgan is a thing that exists, well, Piers Morgan. It was last week when Mehdi Hasan showed up on Piers Morgan's show and brought receipts to show Piers Morgan why Nitwit Nero should never be allowed near the presidency again. And it was brutal. He took Piers Morgan straight to school.
Racist. I wouldn't just say, I think he's a racist. He's a racist by any definition of the term. And, you know, you said you're going to give me some facts about Trump. Let me give you some actual facts about Trump and mental fitness. Let's just talk factually. Donald Trump recently confused Nancy Pelosi with Nikki Haley. He claimed he ran against Barack Obama in 2016. He ran against Hillary Clinton. He thought that we're about to enter World War II. We've actually had World War II. If we enter another World War, it'll be World War III. He thinks you can stop a hurricane with a nuclear weapon. He thinks you need ID to buy cereal. He thinks you can buy Greenland from Denmark. He thinks England and Great Britain are the same thing. He thinks that stealth bombers are literally invisible. He thinks that you can beat COVID by injecting disinfectant into your veins. The idea that this man should be allowed near a school board is absurd. The idea that he should be allowed near the White House again after everything we know about him? Madness. And in fact, I believe you called him mad after January the 6th. And I agreed with that.
I was very critical.
You called him mad on January 6th.
I've been very critical of him on many occasions when I felt he deserved it. But I've also tried understand why so many Americans gravitate towards him.
Yeah, you can run, but you can't hide, Piers. See, this is just the posh-accented version of Joe Rogan over there jacking off, you know, just asking questions. He's nauseating. But since we're talking about the people from the UK, well, Nitwit Nero is barking again, grunting insanely. He's decided that, I mean, how loudly must the spirochetes be shrieking at this fucker? In his 2023 memoir, Spare, Prince Harry talked about having used drugs. And so, Nitwit Nero is now, he gave an interview to GB News that has presumably already aired. And now he's decided that...
we'll have to see if they know something about the drugs, and if he lied, they'll have to take appropriate action.
He wants to deny a visa to Prince Harry. And since he stepped down as, one of the senior royals, he's mainly lived in California with his wife, Meghan, Duchess of Sussex, and his two kids. Enter, oh God, will no one rid us of this meddlesome tax-exempt grift, the Heritage Foundation. Who sued the Department of Homeland Security for Harry's immigration records. Because in his memoir, Spare, he said that he'd used cocaine, marijuana, and psilocybin. And right now, a judge is in the process of deciding whether to give the Heritage Foundation what it wants. How the Heritage Foundation has standing to ask for something like that? No fucking idea. Now, you might not be at all surprised to realize that the host of GB News, GB News, is none other than Nigel Farage. He was the interviewer. And he let Nitwit Nero be all demure.
Yeah, I don't know. You'll have to tell me. You just have to tell me. You would thought they would have known this a long time ago.
Everything old is new again. I'm so old I can remember when Richard M. Nixon was grunting to the now mercifully dead Henry Kissinger about John Lennon and wanted to deport John Lennon from the United States for allegations of drug use. And I guess a lot of this was stirred up because last month, speaking to Good Morning America over on ABC, Prince Hank said that he thought about becoming an American citizen. Well, come on, do it. Come on and do it, Hank. Be a free man, subject to no crown. Be an American. It's a thought that has crossed my mind, but it's not a high priority for me right now, Hank said. Matt in San Francisco. Cocaine, marijuana, psilocybin, hell, I've done that with Valium and washed it down with a Black Russian. Lightweight. Well, you know, that's the nice thing about the psilocybin, Matt. You know, I used to know redneck boys who would, you know, I love them mushrooms. I can take some of them. I can drink beer all night, not even get drunk. Cocaine, marijuana, and psilocybin with a Valium and washed it down with a Black Russian. Everybody's not a pro, Matt. And Darlene in Connecticut. Judge McAfee pulled a James Jesus Comey and a Robert Hur with his recent ruling, as far as I'm concerned. He did not even need to go there. Lawyers have in-office relationships with other lawyers all the time. If they were white, this would not have been an issue. The other side infantilized D.A. Willis because she didn't tell her father about the relationship. What the fuck? She's a grown-ass woman, for fuck's sake, and as fuck. What was that all about? I'll tell you what it's about. It's about Judge McAfee getting reelected. He's up for reelection as well, and apparently he was sitting on a radio program that same day of the ruling, promoting himself, so give me a break with going after Fonny for speaking to the church parishioners. If anything, D.A. Willis hurt her own reelection chances, which is a problem in and of itself because her primary is in May, I think, and her term officially ends this December. I hope somehow she can get reelected to continue this RICO against that orange asshole. Guess who's running against her on the other side? A fucking maggot attorney who will withdraw the RICO case faster than a lightning strike if she wins against Willis. Sadly, it's not over for D.A. Willis because they're looking for other ways to go after her with Bar Association complaints and the like. Right, and all of that is an attempt to do anything but address the gravamen of the actual charges. Because she's got them dead to rights. Just like the dirty school officials who she busted for RICO for dummying up college entrance test scores. It all kind of makes sense. It all does, yeah. Let's run over to the stress line, see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, welcome to you as well. This is Lou from Pennsylvania.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Lou, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Good, I think. Yeah, happy to be here behind the mic as winter comes to an end.
And the cooker working well?
I can only hope. I'm so eager to get into the kitchen after the program's over. Oh, it's going to be good.
All right. Well, I'll be sure to be off by 8. I believe it's Farage, not Farage or whatever.
It may
I've
be.
Always heard it pronounced Farage.
I'd pass that along. Farage rhymes with garage.
Oh, okay. GB News is kind of like their version of Fox News, and I'm probably telling you what you already know, but actually that station is in a lot of trouble with the British regulator because they call themselves news, but a lot of their programming is actually political. So they're under some heavy duty investigation. Mega loss maker as well. Yeah, it's not making any profits at all. And isn't Fannie Willis, wasn't the twist, the additional twist, not the relationship per se, but that she was paying him well, he in turn might have taken her on a vacation or covered some expenses.
It's tissue paper thin.
Well, it's there. But, I mean, and that's a standard Trump tactic. They had to expect that. So, I confess I'm a little disappointed in Ms. Willis for getting caught up like that.
Well, it does seem like a rookie mistake. But the thing is, Lou, it was all taking place prior to this indictment and prior to the investigation.
Fair enough. I mean, well,
but anyway, it's a don't do it.
Yeah, I would think. But at any rate, she's still in the case. I hope it resumes really quickly. Do you happen to know when that will be?
No.
Because she could even dismiss a lot more people and really ramp up the pace of that trial if he really wanted to. She doesn't have to convict them all, just the orange ape.
Yeah, she has the right based upon or contingent upon how Judge McAfee rules to say this is the order I want to start doing the cases in.
There you go.
And then
fingers crossed.
Yeah, if McAfee says no, I want to do it the other way. I mean, it's obviously a conflict. But if I were her at this point, given what Darlene said about the timing and the primary and the general election, wouldn't it seem prudent that she put Nitwit Nero at the top of her list and say, let's get this sucker going ASAP?
Absolutely. So fingers crossed. That's all I can say. I'm so tired of the whole country being obsessed by this one jerk. So, or from their point of view, their god, their hero. But I'll be glad when we move on to talking about health care for people. And
wouldn't that be nice?
Less expensive education. Yeah. Yeah.
Less expensive education.
Oh, and by the way, I live in Scott Perry's district.
Right.
You know, and I'm working on a campaign. I'm only a volunteer, so working, you know, not literally employed, but volunteering for a lady named Janelle Stelson. We're hoping to kick him out of office. So fingers, and I'll let you know how that goes too. And I know you're running in a campaign. Every now and then some updates wouldn't be amiss if you feel comfortable telling us how it's going.
It's a one woman operation right now. And so I'm trying to raise money. And that means trying to set up an Act Blue account. And I finally got my EIN stuff sorted away, which means I can finally reopen the bank account so that people can send checks and money orders and so forth. So that's where it stands. I'm talking to people everywhere I go, doing, you know, what is commonly referred to as retail politics. Hey, I'm running. I'd really appreciate your vote. You know, I want it. And I tell people everywhere I go, it's not what I want for us. It's what I think of us. I think we're better than how we're represented. We are better as people, as a community in this district. But I want to know what they want, what my potential constituents want. I mean,
whatever she has some software. I think it's really basic and standard. But in theory, when I go door to door, I knock on the door of already registered Democrats because right now we're just shooting for the primaries. But it has a menu where we can actually fill in what their primary concerns are, so we can, you know, emphasize those. And it happens to be the category called Perry/Save Democracy. That's the one that most people are upset about, Democrats in this area. But she's also emphasizing women's reproductive rights. But at any rate, you know, in theory, once you get your hundreds of volunteers walking around, they could tabulate all that. I know I'm exaggerating, but fingers crossed again. So
yeah, I'm trying to leverage every resource I can find.
There you go.
And, you know, I have had some leftover signs from last time, so I'm getting those out. And they're really eye-catching. The one and only Tara Devlin designed them for me, and they're really pretty. And they, you know, they get my name out there. And I'm hoping to be able to scrounge up another $1,000 and order a bunch more and then find some folks who are willing to put them in their yards.
Yeah, yeah. You know, she's not poor. I'm a little she's coming out with some more flyers this week because we walk around and we don't have enough literature to leave it on doors that don't open if people aren't home, which is a little frustrating. But if you have pamphlets, you could, well, you know, just how much does a postcard to everybody cost? I don't know.
Postcards are extremely cost effective.
Oh.
And it's just, then it's just a matter of I don't know, buying a keg of beer and getting people to start writing addresses and, getting the voter list.
Yeah. Do you have listeners in Beckley or in the area?
There are a few here and there, but most of the Horn Family Community Congregation is far removed from these areas.
Hmm. Well, that's an idea. Get some listeners to drop in some weekend, plan ahead, and maybe they could, you know, help you out a bit.
Yeah, or meet at, actually, I've been thinking about trying to, we've got a county Democratic headquarters, and I was thinking about trying to invite people to come over and, you know, fill out postcards, that kind of thing, distribute signs.
Mm-hmm. Well, it should be exciting. I certainly hope you win, and I certainly hope we take Scott Perry out.
Oh, you know, as between the two, taking Scott Perry out is by far more important. But I,
you know, two people have told me they knew him 10 years ago, and apparently he's, whatever his positions were then, I'm sure they were terrible. But I think, remember that gentleman up in, I think it was Maine, who killed a bunch of people, and he was in the military, and they found brain damage, they think, relating to blasts. They're saying things like that about Perry, that he's showing a lot of mental illness. So,
well, not to
whatever
be,
that's
not,
worth. Not, I mean, I'm sure.
Not to be flip, Lou, but once you spend long enough worshiping at the shrine of Nitwit Nero, I think it really
does.
I've read articles recently about the neurological effects, for instance, on MAGA Christians, and how something happens in their brains and it's almost like addiction behavior and it becomes almost impossible to get away from it.
There you go.
A long time ago. Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's my first assumption, but, this apparently they say he's soft face, but I agree with you. He sounded like he's just MAGA. So.
A long time ago, a dear friend on the program named Rick Goodner wrote a book called The Fox Syndrome, Shared Psychotic Disorder, and he was a real live, licensed counseling therapist. And he said that, it was almost like a social contagion of psychosis that affected people's minds who just sat there and watched Fox day in and day out. Well, if he was
right,
and that was back in the mid-aughts, and if that was just watching Fox, imagine what this steady deluge of absolute and utter insanity among the Trump people does to a brain. And of course, there are
several people who sit.
Go ahead.
No.
You've known several people who what?
Oh, I've known several people who sat and watched Fox all day, and they were just nincompoops when they got away from the TV. So, I can fully see that. But the one thing, apparently, Perry was at a meeting recently. One lady I was talking to, and her child is a type 1 diabetic, and apparently they had a meeting with Perry, and he said, this is what she told me, that he said they were crazy and that they were lying to him and that all these subsidies are going to bankrupt the country. So there you go. That we just have to get rid of them. Right. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's I'm glad you did. That's madness. So your kid just needs to you just need to pay $2,000 a month for your kid's insulin, or the kid dies, and or else the government's going to sink beneath the wave.
So he can give bombs to Israel to bomb the Palestinians. I could have sworn I heard a number the other day, $14 billion, but I didn't research that. I have to confirm it, but that's how much aid we've been giving them so far. I don't know what I think the Pennsylvania state budget is roughly over twice that, but that's all. Imagine.
I want you to get
to your cooker.
No. we're fine, but I'm trying to think that supplemental that the Senate passed had numbers like that in it. What was it? 20 some, there were multiple billions of dollars, multiple tens of billions of dollars for Ukraine, and 14 or 15 billion for Israel, and like 9 billion for Taiwan, and then there was border money. And the House won't even take it up.
And because of one person.
Yeah, well, and the House won't take it up because the Democrats and, one or two Republicans break rank and it passes. And then...
I think I heard there were some discharge petitions going around, but I can't point to anything specific. I listened to some podcasts and mentioned that.
There's talk of discharge petitions, but I haven't seen anything about one actually being introduced.
I'll check into that.
Because they'll need, I think, 218 votes? And they've got 213.
Right.
I mean, if Ken Buck had stuck around...
Go ahead. Yeah, I would think a bunch of Republicans might break ranks, and not certainly enough to break ranks for Ukraine. I could be wrong. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, I'll check into it. For some reason, they said they take a while to work their way through the system. I think they said there were multiple that had started. So.
Yeah, it's just a tormented process, and it's designed to be that way.
I did hear today that DeSantis has said the Epstein records will be opened, and apparently that made Trump really mad. Did you hear that one?
No, I missed that.
I don't know what. Okay, I don't know why DeSantis would have Epstein records.
Because there was a prosecution. There was a prosecution in the state of Florida.
And I think Trump's name is in those files. So he started calling him to say, he said he was not going to call him DeSanctimonious. He's going to call him DeSantis or something.
Remember the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing finally blew up as a result of some real live, honest to God, no kidding journalism by the Miami Herald.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's where the whole thing gets going.
I didn't follow it. Oh, okay. I thought he was up in New York. Well, apparently, he had a house in New York, but he probably had houses.
He had a place in New York. He had a place in Florida. He had a huge spread in New Mexico. And then, of course, there was, you know, Lolita Island.
Some island somewhere, yeah.
It's just disgusting to even ponder.
It is. Well, I mean, I just don't understand, again, an addiction of some bizarre sort. Happily, I don't have it.
Not disagreeing to be disagreeable, Lou, but I don't even necessarily think it's an addiction. I think it's more of a matter of a sense of entitlement. These kinds of men.
That could be.
These kinds of men think it's just a poor part of an overall picture. They feel entitled to women's bodies. I mean, not to go too deeply down a rabbit hole, but you don't have to go far in these manosphere video podcasts and the like before you'll find some guy saying. In fact, I saw a clip earlier today. If a woman has a preference for a certain type or age of man, that's a preference. But if a man has a preference for a younger woman, then he's a pervert and a pedo. Well, yeah, if you're over 19 and you want to date a 17-year-old, the further away from 17 you get, the creepier you are. And the reason that they want these young girls is because they want the girls, they're obsessed with sexual history. And the younger, the better for these monsters. Like I said, it's disgusting to even ponder. But it's who they are. And they feel entitled. And they want younger girls because the younger girls won't know how horrible they are.
Ah, okay.
I mean, those are the real groomers.
Entitled to break the rules or something.
Yeah, those.
By the way, I came across a good podcast that's taught by a former classics professor on the ancients, and I was listening to episode 1 on Pompeii, and I noticed he had some old episodes on Crassus, and I thought, I'll pass along the link to you. You might enjoy listening.
Oh, I think I would.
Good, actually.
I have no doubt.
And I'm reading a book, and I know there's no time in the world for everyone to read, but I'm reading an excellent book on ancient Carthage with zillions of footnotes, which I'm really enjoying. So,
oh, that would be fascinating.
I enjoy that time. It's really a good book. She's the world expert on Carthage, Eva McDonald. And it's just so, you know, I know you've got to be busy. And now you're campaigning. There's no way you'd have time. So apparently Carthage was actually Carthadesh. That's how they would say it, just for fun. And it's amazing the things that she says, you know, and again, you can actually contrast it with Rome. So just a fascinating book.
Oh, it is. And the dynamic between Rome and Carthage, I mean, they were bound to come into conflict. And Carthage at one point in time was by far the stronger, was it not?
Oh, yeah. Early on, they were actually allies against the Greeks.
Yep.
And Carthage is a much older city. Roughly anywhere from 300 to 500 years.
Well, wasn't it
older than Rome?
Yeah, wasn't it begun as a Phoenician outpost?
It was a settlement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Tyre. And you know what? They used to send back tithes to Tyre. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, tribute. And of course, the Carthaginians got into Spain long before Rome, and Rome getting into Spain was a direct result of victory over the Carthaginians, and you know they exist to this day, to a certain extent, in place names. You know, Cartagena in Spain is Carthage.
In Carthage. Spain, they found a lot of silver.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it's at any rate, I wanted to pass those along while I had your attention.
Well, thank
we had
you,
a few
Lou.
Minutes. And yep. Go enjoy your cooker. Keep your eyes out for those sneaky elves. And maybe we'll get you a book on Star Trek to make sure you hit your quote quarter.
That sounds good. Lou, have a wonderful evening. It was a great conversation.
You too.
Bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
We've heard from him via email, and now we've heard from him on the phone. That's Lou in PA. Emissary to the Keebler orcs. I gotta stop calling them orcs. They're not gonna make them any friendlier. Well, that's it, everybody. Thanks for joining in for this Titanic Tuesday. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our challenge makers and our a la carte contributors and our challenge respondents. Excuse me. Too much gin on the cornflakes. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you in the chat room to Roger. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. It would make Brother Deacon Asa terribly happy if he would be so kind as to leave a review or positive comments on the podcast, where whatever platform you take it from. And we try to put it up on every available platform. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Over 25 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia at a proud union shop. Go by CRMW.net and see what they're up to. There's a desperate fight against a crooked coal company taking place even now. And, well, Coal River Mountain Watch is leading, as so often Coal River Mountain Watch does. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Flu shot, that kind of thing. But this is the last day of winter. Yay! And now I can have an improved mood all the way to the summer solstice. Ah. Of course, keep wearing your masks if you're around the maggots because, well, they're a contagious lot and they don't care. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you, pocket or purse. This is all just good praxis. Maintain your social distance as best you can. And, if Leon Scum comes towards you babbling about how the prosecution of January 6th has gone too far, encourage him to take a ride on one of his own dick rockets and avoid him like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Wayne and Gina, it's all for you. Later.